Welcome back to our Chill, Rethinking Rest and Stress Bible Study. I'm really glad that you're here. And whether you're listening while driving or folding laundry, maybe you're at home with a cup of coffee and your Bible, or maybe you're sitting together with a friend or your grace group. I'm just glad that you're all here together joining me. So let's go ahead and open up to Psalm 34. And as you're turning there, I want to remind us again what this study is really about, because I think this matters. We're not just walking through a Christianized stress management plan. We're not trying to become emotionally detached people who never feel overwhelmed. And we are definitely not pretending that if we pray enough or organize our calendars better, life suddenly becomes easy. And the Psalms don't give us that kind of picture of life. What they do give us is honest people learning to come honestly before God. And I think that's one reason why so many of us just love the Psalms. They sound like real life. There's joy and worship, and there's confidence in God, but there's also fear and exhaustion and waiting and confusion and tears and questions. The Psalms remind us that faith and emotional honesty are not enemies. David did not write Psalm 34 from a peaceful beach vacation with no responsibilities and a perfectly rested nervous system. He wrote this psalm after running for his life. And yet, listen to how this psalm sounds. I will bless the Lord at all times. His grace shall continually, his praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 34, verse 1. That should make us pause for a minute, because when we know the backstory, this psalm feels surprising, really. And I think that's part of what God wants us to notice. So now, before we go further, remember the framework for this whole study. We're using the word chill as an acrostic to help us remember these movements toward biblical rest. Come to Him. Hide in Him. Know the great I am. Let go and let God. And I love that we're beginning with come, because that really is the first movement toward rest. Before hiding, before letting go, before learning surrender, we come. And I suppose it can sound like stating the obvious, but I think that's how basic and essential it is to come and think back to your own life, as well as the following ways that we may come. We come tired, we come distracted. Think about how we come grateful sometimes, or anxious, or worshipful. Sometimes we come confused. We come imperfectly. We just come to God. And there's actually something beautiful happening here in Psalm 34 itself that connects to this idea. Psalm 34 is an acrostic psalm. In the Hebrew, each section begins with successive letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Isn't that interesting? God built this psalm in a memorable pattern. I love that about God. He wants us to know His word, right? So acrostics aren't modern inventions. God's people have always used patterns like this to help His word dwell deeply in their hearts and minds. And I love that, because it reminds us that God cares not only that we read His word, but that we remember it, that we carry it with us, that it settles into us richly. And isn't that really the heartbeat of this entire Bible study, right? So today, as we open Psalm 34, I want us to pay attention to the movement of this psalm. Watch how David keeps turning toward God. Watch how often he comes back to the character of God. Watch the invitation that keeps unfolding through the psalm. And maybe ask yourself this as we begin. Where do I run first when stress rises? What do I reach for first? What do I listen to? Where does my mind go first? Because Psalm 34 invites us back to the best place we could possibly go, to the Lord Himself. So, as we move forward here, let's read part of the Psalm 34 together. And as we do, try not to rush through anything that seems familiar, right? Just sometimes when we know a psalm well, we can almost stop really hearing it because we already know what comes next. So slow down for a minute and listen to David's words. Starting again with verse 1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces shall never be ashamed. So I want us to pause here at verse 5 and then skip down to verse 8. This is really familiar, I think, to most of us. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And then verse 17. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And finally, verse 22. The Lord redeems the life of his servants. None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. This psalm has a personal ring to it, doesn't it? David is not talking about God like some distant idea or merely reciting theology he learned growing up. He's talking about the God that he cried out to, the God who heard him, the God who stayed near and to him when he was afraid. And as you read through this psalm, notice how many of the words involve the senses or personal experience. Taste, see, look, cry out, hear. Even in verse 1, his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This psalm feels very lived in to me. David is bringing his actual life before God, and I think that matters because sometimes when we're stressed or overwhelmed, we can unintentionally separate our real emotions from our relationship with God. We may still read our Bible or pray, you know, we're good Christians and all that, but we hold back the honest parts of what's happening in us. David doesn't do that here. So as you read Psalm 34, you can hear fear in it, relief, gratitude, worship. You can hear someone remembering what God did for him in a very difficult season. And notice, too, how often David keeps redirecting himself back to the Lord. You might even underline repeated phrases if you like marking up your Bible like I do. I sought the Lord. Those who look to him taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord hears. The Lord is near. Have you noticed that movement? David keeps turning his attention back toward God. And what's interesting is that this psalm never pretends the trouble wasn't real. David talks openly about fears and troubles and affliction. In fact, in verse 19, he says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, And that's important to notice. The Psalms are honest about life. They don't pretend that loving God removes hardship or stress or sorrow from us. David is not saying, trust God and nothing hard will happen to you. The psalm is saying something much deeper than that. It's showing us where to go in the middle of hardship. And that changes the way that we think about rest a little bit, doesn't it? I mean, because biblical rest is not primarily about escaping difficult circumstances. David is still living through difficulty when he writes this. Rest begins when we come back, when we keep coming back to God in the middle of everything else. That's why this first part of our chill acrostic matters so much. Come to him. Before we figure things out or fix everything, before we calm ourselves down or have the perfect words, we come. And if we're honest, that's not usually our first instinct. I mean, a lot of times we start by trying to solve the problem immediately. Like me. we pray. I don't know. We replay conversations in our minds. We rehearse or overthink everything before we simply come and just pray honestly about it. But David keeps turning toward the Lord. And as we keep moving through Psalm 34, I want us to pay attention not only to what David says about his struggles, but what he discovered about God in the middle of them. Are you ready? So let's get into the backstory of Psalm 34. Before we go in anywhere further, I think it really just helps to pause and look at the backstory because it changes the way that you hear the psalm. So if your Bible includes the heading before Psalm 34, you'll notice what it says, of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, so that he drove him out and went away. That heading points us back to 1 Samuel chapter 21 and into chapter 22. And this is such an unusual season in David's life. You know, this is not David standing before Goliath with confidence and courage. This is David running for his life. Saul has been trying to kill him. David is exhausted. He's under pressure, moving from place to place, trying to survive, and eventually ends up in Gath, which makes the whole story even more surprising because Gath was Goliath's hometown. Just think about that for a minute. David, the man known for killing Goliath, walks into Philistine territory carrying Goliath's sword. Every time I read that part of the story, I kind of pause and think, David, what exactly was the plan here? And apparently the servants of Achish recognize him quickly, and they start talking about the songs that people sang about David's victories. And suddenly David realized he's in danger again. And scripture says he was very afraid. And then he comes to the part of the story that's so unexpected. David pretends to be insane, right? He starts acting wildly. He's scratching on doors. He's letting saliva run down his beard. It's such a vulnerable picture of David. Because when we think of David, when I think of David, we usually picture strength and worship and leadership. But here we see someone trying desperately to survive, right? And I'm grateful scripture includes moments like this. The Bible does not sanitize people. It lets us see faithful people in fearful moments. It lets us see that people who love God still struggle under pressure. It reminds us that walking with God does not mean someone always appears calm and composed. And Psalm 34 comes out of that season, during a season of fear and instability. When you read Psalm 34 alongside of 1 Samuel 21, some of the verses began to sound a little different. So listen again to verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Did you notice David says fears, plural? I think a lot of us understand that feeling. Stress is rarely just one thing, one concern. No. One thing and one concern connects to another thing and another concern. And before long, your mind is carrying conversations and responsibilities and uncertainties and decisions all at once. And David knew what that felt like. And yet, notice what he says. I sought the Lord. That's the part I don't want us to miss. Not that David handled everything perfectly or that he looked impressive, and obviously not because he never felt overwhelmed. What was true? He kept seeking the Lord. And sometimes I think that we assume that we need to get ourselves emotionally settled before we come to God. Like we should arrive with stronger faith or clearer thoughts or calmer emotions. But Psalm 34 just really removes that idea. David comes frightened. He comes fresh out of humiliation and fear, and God still meets him there. Psalm 34 reminds us that God is not asking us to pretend that the realities of life, the pressures and the stresses, are small or insignificant before we come to him. He just invites us to come, honestly. And there's another detail in the story that I love. After David escapes, he goes to this cave, the cave of Adullam. And 1 Samuel 22 says, people gathered around him there, people who were distressed, people who were discouraged and struggling. Notice that. God was already shaping David through suffering into someone who could help carry others through theirs. And reading this also makes me think about Jesus. Think about the kinds of people who gathered around him, the weary, the burdened, the sick, the grieving, the outcast, the people who knew they needed help. Jesus welcomed these people. And I think Psalm 34, go lay down. Go on. Go lay down. Come on. I should have put her away. Come on. Let's go. Come on. Dayla. Go lay down. Stinker. And I think Psalm 34 begins preparing our hearts to recognize that kind of Savior. So look again at verses 4 through 6, because I think this is really the heart of the psalm. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant, and their faces shall never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You know, I love this about Scripture, slowing down. And you see the familiar verses, and you hear them anew. They start to sound different when you remember the story behind them. David is not writing from a place of comfort. He was writing as someone who's been hiding and running and trying to survive when he says, I sought the Lord. Those words carry weight because we know what is happening in his life. And notice how personal David's language is throughout the verses. I sought the Lord, those who looked to him, the Lord heard him. David keeps bringing his attention back to God. And that's really the first movement toward rest, coming to God. So verse 6 especially stands out to me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. David is talking about himself here. David, the giant slayer, the anointed king, the man who had killed his thousands. None of that registers. There's no pretense or reminders of his own past strength. No. David acknowledges that he's a poor man, and he's crying out. And what happens? The Lord heard him. You know, we don't naturally always feel like feeling needy. We like solving problems. We like competency. We like being able to manage things well. But as we grow spiritually, we should actually become quicker to depend on God, not less dependent on him. David cried out because David knew he needed the Lord. And as you read this psalm carefully, notice what David focuses on most. He certainly talks about his trouble and his fear, but he keeps returning to what God is like in the middle of those things. And what is God like? Well, he hears, he answers, he stays near to his people, he rescues, and he helps, and he shelters. And David is discovering the character of God in the middle of difficulty. That matters because when we are overwhelmed, our thoughts can become consumed with the problem right in front of us. We replay those situations in our mind. We think about the various outcomes that could happen, the timelines, the conversations, and the possibilities over and over again. But David keeps redirecting himself back toward the Lord. And maybe that's the part of what it means to come to God that we need to hear and be reminded of. Not only bringing him our problems, but slowly learning to bring our attention just back to who he is. That doesn't mean that we ignore reality or pretend life suddenly becomes easy. David certainly isn't doing that here, but Psalm 34 reminds us that God is steadier than our emotions and circumstances. And as Christians, we see this even more fully in Jesus. When you read the Gospels, you see people constantly bringing their needs and fears and burdens to him. The sick came to him, the grieving came to him, the exhausted and the desperate, they all came to him, and Jesus welcomed them. He simply says, come. And Psalm 34 is helping us learn how to do that, right? So now we come to one of the most familiar verses in the Psalms. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Psalm 34, verse 8. And because this verse is so familiar, I think it helps us to slow down and really notice what David is saying. What stands out to you? Well, for me, one of the things I notice right away is that David speaks very personally here. He's not merely making a statement about God's goodness, you know, as an idea or a doctrine. He's inviting people to experience God's goodness for themselves. Taste and see. That's invitation language. And when you remember the season David is in, he writes this psalm, it becomes even more meaningful. David has been afraid. He's been hiding. He's been under pressure and uncertainty, and yet somehow in the middle of all that, he's still talking about the goodness of God. David did not discover God's goodness after he finally calmed his life down. He discovered God's goodness while life was still difficult. And I love the Hebrew words here because they slow us down even more. The word taste is the Hebrew word ta'am. It carries the idea of personally experiencing something, perceiving it for yourself. David isn't saying stand back and analyze whether God is good. He's inviting us to know his goodness personally. It's a little like trying to describe honey to someone who's never tasted it before. At some point, description only goes so far, and you have to just taste it yourself. And then the word see, this is the Hebrew word ra'ah. You might be familiar with the name of God, El Roi, comes from the same root, the God who sees, El Roi, and this word, see, in Hebrew, ra'ah. It means more than just glancing at something quickly. That's not what God does, right? The God who sees. No. This is the idea of looking attentively, fixing your gaze somewhere, really paying attention. Have you ever noticed how stress affects our focus? When we're overwhelmed, our thoughts can get stuck on the problem in front of us. Psalm 34 redirects our attention to look again at the Lord. Notice his goodness. See him. Pay attention to his character. This is one reason being in God's word consistently matters so much. We need the truth of God's word shaping the way we think because our attention gets pulled in so many directions all day long. And that's why I love Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly. That word has always stood out to me. Paul doesn't describe God's word as something occasional or shallow in our lives. He's talking about the word settling deep into us, shaping our thinking, our responses, our worship, our relationships, the way we handle fear and stress and ordinary life. And honestly, Psalm 34 is showing us what that all looks like, and it's in real time. David's mind keeps returning to the character of God. He keeps bringing himself back to what he knows to be true about God. And then David says, "Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." That word refuge appears all throughout the Psalms, gives a picture of shelter and protection, a safe place that you intentionally run to. And notice where David says refuge is found. Refuge is found in the Lord himself. So as we read this psalm now, knowing Jesus, it's hard not to see how beautifully this points us to him. Again and again in the Gospels, people came to Jesus carrying burdens and needs and questions, and he welcomed them, and he fed people, and he comforted grieving people. He invited weary people to come to him for rest. And really, that invitation is still open to us now. Taste and see. Come to the Lord and know his goodness for yourself. So now, skip down with me to verses 17 and 18, because these are some of the most comforting verses in this psalm. When the righteous cry for help, the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And I'm grateful the Bible speaks this so clearly. David is not pretending that faithful people never struggle. In fact, these verses assume there will be moments When God's people cry out for help, feel brokenhearted, and become weary under the weight of life, and that matters because sometimes we carry the idea that if we were just spiritually stronger, we wouldn't feel overwhelmed so often. But when you spend time in the Psalms, you realize the people closest to God were often very honest about the fear and the sorrow and the exhaustion and the need that they had. David certainly was. And I want us to slow down for a minute over this phrase, "The Lord is near." David wants us to understand something about the character of God here. God does not pull away from his people when they're hurting. Sometimes people do that, don't they? Suffering can make others uncomfortable. People may not know what to say or how to help, so they create distance. But David says the Lord draws near to the brokenhearted. And that phrase, brokenhearted, carries the idea of something shattered inwardly and then crushed in spirit. It speaks of someone who has been brought low, discouraged, weighed down. David understands that kind of pain. Psalm 34 gives language for experiences that we keep tucked away. Some people listening right now may look completely fine outwardly while inwardly carrying more than anyone else realizes. And this psalm reminds us that God sees that fully. The Lord is near. And when you read the Gospels, you see this so beautifully in Jesus. Jesus consistently moved toward hurting people, the grieving families, the sick, the exhausted, the blind, beggars, people everyone else had overlooked. He was never impatient with people needing help. I love that about Jesus. And ultimately, we see this most fully at the cross. Jesus understands suffering firsthand because he willingly stepped into this broken world himself. Isaiah calls him a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. So when Psalm 34 says the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, we understand that even more deeply because of Jesus. Because of Christ, we know God is not distant from our suffering. And that is significant in a study about stress and rest because weary people do not merely need better coping strategies. We need the faithful reminder that God has not abandoned us. He is near. David knew that. Because life becomes easy, but because he experienced God's faithfulness while the suffering was real. So I want us to come back to the invitation that we've seen all throughout Psalm 34. David keeps bringing himself back to the Lord as you read the psalm and as you see it happening over and over and over again. I want you to grow in your ability to see God, to come to him. In fear, in uncertainty, in worship and gratitude, David keeps turning his attention back toward God. And that's something that we all have to keep learning because when stress rises, it's very easy for our minds to spiral into problem solving or overthinking or distraction before we actually stop and come before the Lord. But Psalm 34 keeps calling us back, come to him. And maybe that's where some of us need to begin again today. So before we close, I just want to keep thinking about David there standing in Gath. When you read the account in 1 Samuel, his solution is almost startling. He pretends madness, he scratches the doors, that saliva running down his beard. It hardly seems like a strategy that we would expect from the future king of Israel, and yet God used it. And I've wondered how David even came up with that idea. It was so outrageous. What kind of a plan was that? Perhaps part of the answer is found in the habit that we see throughout his life. David was continually bringing himself to God, putting out his fears honestly before the Lord. And because he had learned to come to God, he was able to recognize God's provision when it came. And even in a form he never would have expected. Sometimes God's answer comes as a miracle. And sometimes it comes as strength to endure. And sometimes it comes as acting crazy. And sometimes it comes in wisdom for the next step. And then those moments when it just might humble us. All those are because we come to God. So the invitation of Psalm 34 is not that we will always know how God will provide. It is rather to stay close enough to him that when he does provide, we will recognize, hey, this is God. Why is that? Because we've made it a habit to come to him. So as you continue through this week, keep coming near, keep tasting and seeing, keep bringing your heart honestly before the Lord. Psalm 34 keeps reminding us that the Lord hears his people, he stays near to them, and remains their refuge and their safety. And ultimately, the psalm points toward Jesus. Because of Jesus, we're never coming to a distant God. We can draw near. So as you continue with this study this week, pause, revisit Psalm 34, maybe sit with verse 8 for a while. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Ask the Lord to keep teaching you what it means to come to him first, continually bringing yourself back toward him throughout the ordinary moments of life. I want to encourage you to keep dwelling in this psalm this week and continue into lesson 2, because next we'll move into Psalm 27 and the H in chill, hide in him. And I love how naturally these two psalms connect together. Psalm 34 teaches us to come to the Lord honestly. Psalm 27 begins by showing us what it means to remain near to him, to find shelter and security in him when life is still uncertain around us. Let's go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great kindness and love for us that we can come to you. And I ask all in hearing of my voice right now, Lord, that you would bless them as they truly seek you and come to you. We ask all this in Jesus' name, and everyone said, hallelujah, amen. Thank you for being a part of this lesson with me here today, and I look forward to seeing you again real soon. Until then, know that you are loved and prayed for. Bye-bye for now.